What is up, guys? Today we are going to be talking about folding phones such as the Galaxy Fold, Huawei Mate X, and the Motorola Razr. So, you older people listening to this podcast may remember flip phones. I don't remember them. I was born in 2006, so a little past that. But that was the original type of cell phone, and then we moved into the original iPhone, which was the first major difference in the form factor. Phones before that had like a attached physical keyboard in some way, but this iPhone brought along like the touch screen, and it had everything just there, so it just had a screen. But ever since then, phones have pretty much just looked the same. It has a touch screen. The only thing that's really happened is that screens have been getting bigger, and much to some people's chagrin, headphone jacks have been being lost. And the only really major improvements on them have been screen quality and camera quality, which is kind of boring considering phones are supposed to be like the new thing that keep evolving and evolving. We did see a few concept like flexible screens and stuff like that at events like CES, but overall we didn't really see much change in the phone industry. That was until the Samsung Galaxy Fold dropped. So for those of you who don't know, the Samsung Galaxy Fold is a foldable phone made by Samsung with a 4.6 screen on the front of it when it's folded. And unfolded, it has a 7.3-inch screen. So pretty big for a phone. And it folds kind of like a book. So when it's in its folded state, it kind of looks like a candy bar. Snickers bar you might buy, but then as you open it, it's kind of like a small tablet, like a Kindle Fire kind of thing. It's a very cool phone. It has a flexible plastic screen, which ended up causing some problems later, but we'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to read off some of the specs of this phone, which are actually quite impressive. This phone has a Qualcomm Snapdragon 855 in it with 12 gigabytes of RAM, 512 gigabytes of storage, and it is a USB-C charger. So this was the first launch of a foldable phone, and people were very excited about it. So when it started coming out to PR and people started reviewing that, there was even more excitement. But then after a few days after it being sent out to, like, you know, the YouTube influencers and stuff for review, the YouTube influencers started noticing some problems. And actually Marques Brownlee was the first to report that his screen just like stopped working, because there was a plastic border around it that looked like it was just a screen cover that you normally pull off of a phone when you get it new. But apparently this was actually an integral part of the screen design, because it's a foldable thing and it's very fragile, that when you start to pull it off, the screen just kind of went half black and then eventually totally stopped working. And this happened with other people too, but it wasn't always because they tried to peel that layer off. There are also instances of stuff getting in the hinge, which Samsung made a point of saying they specially designed. During the release, it was very easy for sand to get into the hinge because there's a little fold right there where you can have like sand grains and dirt and dust get in there. And that's very bad for the screen because it's so fragile. So this went on for a little bit, and eventually Samsung said, okay, send all the phones back to us and we'll release it again at a later date. So they sent all the phones back, which was kind of controversial. I think it was a good decision because this is one of the first times I've seen a company like step up and say, okay, no, it's not the user's problem. It's our problem. We're going to go back and fix the design, rather than like just pushing out to the user and saying, no, you're using it wrong, this and that. But they took it back, did a few redesigns, and when it came out again, the little plastic border was moved to under the bezels on the side so that you couldn't actually see it and physically could not lift it up. And they added some guards to the edge of the phone to try to keep dust from getting into the hinge. It doesn't work completely, but that's something you have to expect when you have like a big launch like this. And it helped improve the phone a lot and improve phone function and quality. They also added a lot more warnings to the box of how to use it. So that was the first major folding phone launch. And then you had the Huawei Mate X come out a little bit later. So the Huawei Mate X is kind of the reverse of the Galaxy Fold. It's unfolded, it's a bigger screen, but instead of folding like a book, it folds back. So if you had a horizontal shape, it would kind of fold backwards onto it, and it would just make that half of the screen that was folded back and exposed, it would make that part black, and the only functional part of the screen would be the part that was exposed. Now, I'm going to read the specs off of this phone again, which are pretty impressive. It has a high silicon Kirin 980 processor, 8 gigs of RAM, so slightly smaller than the Galaxy Fold, and 512 gigabytes of storage, along with a 4,500 milliamp hour battery. So this is kind of a new interpretation of the folding phone form factor that we've seen. Samsung did it like a book opening and closing. Huawei kind of folded it back and still had some of the screen exposed, which I'm not sure I like because that seems to have more opportunity for damage to the screen. But this was a new form factor that people hadn't heard about before. Now, you may not have heard about this phone if you're living in the US, if you're living in other countries, I'm really not sure. But in the US, the phone was not released because of China trade things, and Huawei is a China-based company. So they didn't actually end up selling the phone in the US, which is why people didn't really hear about it. People weren't buying it because they couldn't. So that may have been a reason why you didn't hear about it. But this was the first new interpretation that we had of a folding phone when we originally just had the Galaxy Fold. And then after that, quite recently actually, Motorola came out with the Motorola Razr. Now again, the older people listening to this podcast who were around when flip phones were around, you probably would remember the Razr phone, which was a flip phone in around the 90s, I think. I don't know. And basically, they did a flip phone type design, but instead of like a screen that wasn't a touchscreen and a keyboard, they have a full touchscreen on the length of the phone, and it's foldable. And then they have like a small tiny screen on the front, which I guess is just to see notifications. So that was pretty cool. People seem to really like this phone a lot, which I'm not sure why. I'm not a big fan of the flip phone form factor, but it was pretty cool to see other companies taking their own shots at it and seeing so much variation in the designs. This phone had a Qualcomm Snapdragon 710 octa-core processor, 128 gigabytes of storage, and a 2510 milliamp hour battery. So yeah, those are okay specs, not as good as the two phones I mentioned earlier, the Galaxy Fold and the Mate X, but they're pretty good. So that was really interesting. And then Samsung tried their own take on the flip phone design with the Samsung Z Flip that dropped just before the Super Bowl for the Americans listening. But the big change on the Z Flip was that instead of a plastic screen that everyone had been using before, they decided to use ultra-thin glass as the screen, which supposedly had more durability, so it wasn't as easy to damage. And the screen was 6.7 inches, a 12-megapixel camera, 8 gigabytes of RAM, and a 3,300 milliamp hour battery, which are pretty good specs. But instead of Samsung having like a screen that kind of covered the whole front of the phone when it was folded, like the Motorola Razr, they just have a tiny little panel about the size of an iPhone 8 camera bump on the front that just has your regular notifications and just like daily stuff that you would need. So that was Samsung's take on it. And then for the ultra thin glass durability, I actually saw a video testing like the hardness of the glass. It's actually not that much harder than plastic, but it was still cool to see this design happen with, instead of plastic, they tried to use glass because they were trying to recover from the mistakes from before. So again, I think that's a really good step in the right direction for these, because I really do believe folding phones are the future. And some other concepts, some concept phones that I've seen, they won't go into sale, are like a tri-folding phone. So they kind of fold like a pan flip. You can prop it up and have like just the two panels, or you can have all three as like a big tablet. And I thought that was pretty cool. I think that could have some really cool applications of like work on the road if you're like a designer or an artist. That would be pretty cool. But people are starting to, after Samsung's original Galaxy Fold, people aren't scared anymore to try new things. It kind of took that one push in the right direction to get to where we are now with folding phones, where people are just trying new things and trying to come up with them, which I think is a really good step in the right direction for smartphones in general. I think they've stayed the same for way too long. And to start moving into like future designs and people really experimenting, I think that's a really good move, and I hope to see more of it in the future. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Come back again if you did, and I'll see you guys next time.